Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is virologist Professor Barry Shubb. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, but obviously quite sad because this was sort of the beginning of the rollout, and whereas I have been critical of government in terms of some of the ways they've been handling it, this one could not have been anticipated, surely. I think we have to be fair I would think that this, yeah. You know, it was, it couldn't have been foreseen, or could it have been?
Not at all. This is completely unforeseen, completely unpredicted. Yeah. I think the government really, to their credit, I think one has to give credit where credit is due. I think they did have good intentions. Yeah. There was a lot of pressure obviously put on the government, and I think rightly so, because we are concerned particularly with the healthcare workers, those on the front line. So they did respond to that. They did get the AstraZeneca and all good intentions. And I think that the variant was really something which is unpredictable. You know, there was some information coming mainly from overseas that even though the laboratory tests, because this is where the worrying signals initially came from, that the laboratory tests demonstrated that the people that had been vaccinated, their antibodies weren't responding or weren't effective in neutralizing the variant. But we thought, okay, the immune system is a lot more complex than just making antibodies. And the information that came from overseas, well, look, it's still going to work. But when you actually analyze the data, it was worrying. And, it's, you know, we don't know. It may well still work in preventing serious disease and hospitalization. The problem, we don't have that data because, you know, the variant is dominant in our country, in South Africa, but it's not found where the rollout takes place in Europe and in the United States and so on. So we couldn't really, the only way one can really kind of find the data, if it's really working in individuals, or people in the trials. And of course the numbers are very, very small. It may still work. It may still be effective in preventing serious disease and hospitalization. But of course it's not going to be the kind of start of the rollout. It doesn't mean that we're going to throw away the vaccine. It's still going to be kept. There are some other avenues which are being explored, but it's not going to be used now for the rollout. Mm-hmm. The rollout is going to substitute other vaccines.
So it's not going to be used primarily for frontline medical teams, I would imagine.
Not immediately, no. They are going to get a consignment of Johnson & Johnson, which is probably the best vaccine, looks like, on the trials, right. And also some Pfizer as well.
Right. Do we have the facilities to manage Pfizer in terms of cold storage?
Yeah, initially it was a big challenge, but they've done an audit, and actually surprisingly, it's obviously only in the major urban centers. There are facilities, quite extensive facilities, which we didn't realize initially. But certainly in the major main centers, they do have either ultra cold freezers, which are quite expensive bits of equipment, but certainly all the kind of academic centers have got those. And then there are apparently reasonable cold storage at -70, -80, excuse me, in the main urban centers.
The news, obviously, that the variant identified here in South Africa the vaccine wouldn't work for this variant, is obviously very troubling news. But isn't it more troubling because we might see this happening as we go along? So right now, Pfizer might be great, and Johnson & Johnson might be good as well. But as this virus mutates, surely this is going to be an ongoing concern.
Well, this is what you're looking at in the future. You know, these are only the first generation vaccines. There are very busy at work in research places around the world, and particularly in the vaccine manufacturing environment, looking at upgrading vaccines to be able to handle variants. So it might well be, and this is, of course, we're speculating now, that we have the same scenario that we have with influenza. As you know, influenza, that virus mutates very, very rapidly. And every year we have to update the vaccine to match what's circulating. Now, it's probably not going to be to the same extent, because certainly The coronavirus is not as mutable, not as changeable as the influenza virus. But it may well be that we need regular vaccination, maybe every 2 years, every 3 years, maybe every year. That we'll have to see in the future. But certainly the vaccines will need to be tweaked and modified and adjusted to the changing virus. Yeah.
And the concept about, or the comments about the expiry date in April, I would have imagined that those vaccines would have been rolled out by then in any event, if they were appropriate. But is that a concern as well?
Look, it is a bit of a concern. You know, normally the expiry date's about, longevity of vaccine, shall I say, how stable it is, about 6 months. But apparently this particular, the AstraZeneca, which is a virus vector vaccine, is different to the mRNA vaccine of Pfizer, that may well have quite good stability well beyond that expiry date. Mm. They're actually busy with the Serum Institute of India that actually made the vaccine to see can that expiry date be extended. So it may well be able to be extended. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is a bit unfortunate that it did come here, the fairly short expiry date. You're right.
How are other countries dealing with it? Because we know there's the Brazilian variant, where there's the UK variant, there's the South African variant. Are we expecting similar results for all of the variants?
No. Look at the UK variant has got, it's called a 501. That's the actual position on the genome where the mutation takes place. That on its own increases the infectivity. It may increase the virulence. That's a bit controversial, but certainly does increase the infectivity, but doesn't seem to evade the immune response. Whereas what we've got and the Brazilians have got are extra mutations. They're at 484 is the one position, 417 is the other. The 484 seems to be a critical one because that's the one that seems to duck the immune system, evade the immune system. The antibodies don't recognize that virus if it's got that mutation. But that's not in the UK variant.
Right. So it is different. Is there any hope that they can keep the Brazilian or South African variant out of these countries? Obviously, we have shut down travel from those countries, from South Africa and Brazil. But is there any way, realistically, considering how this virus is spreading, that they can actually keep it out of these out of countries?
No, in fact, it's already there. It's already been isolated. It's been isolated in Israel. It's been isolated in the UK. I think it's now in, 80 countries. You can't keep these viruses out. Look, Australia's been reasonably successful. Australia and New Zealand have been really successful. But they're islands. It's a lot easier.
And no one wants to go there. Yeah.
Sorry.
I said no one wants to go there. That's why. Who wants to travel to New Zealand? But so it's much easier. No, but
in the sheep industry.
Right, exactly. but it is very, very, there seems to be almost a slow dawning on the realization that this is going to be with us for some years, that we're going to be living this mixture of less lockdown, more lockdown, until somehow we figure this out. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I think certainly 2021 is written off. 2021, we'll certainly have corona with recurrent upswings and maybe a third wave and a fourth wave. I think when winter comes, you can expect a third wave. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we're going to do certainly for this year. I think what eventually is going to happen is that, you see, the kind of problem was that we've had a bad epidemic because this is what we call a virgin soil epidemic. In other words, it's a new virus in a totally susceptible human population. That's what's happened, and that's why it spread so rapidly and caused the misery that it has. But once it's established into the human population, once it's been circulating, then eventually we'll live with the virus and the virus will live with us. You know, we got it ready for what we call endemic coronaviruses. Those cause the common cold. So eventually we're going to tolerate this coronavirus because it's going to cause minor illness. Once we get a certain percentage of individuals, either herd immunity or even below herd immunity, when the population has already seen the virus, then it's going to adapt to the human population. So probably in a few years' time, it's going to be one of those coronaviruses, one of those causes of the common cold or minor minor flu, minor upper respiratory. And we have to tolerate that. One thing's for sure, we cannot eliminate the virus. You cannot eradicate. It will always be with us, but hopefully at a low level.
Absolutely. Just one question from listener Josh says, please can you ask Professor Shubb when the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine will get to South Africa? Is there, do we have dates? Do we have a timeline?
Well, I can only quote the minister. He said that we're going to get it by the end of the end of this month. That's going to be the Johnson & Johnson, I believe, is very imminent. It's on its way.
Right.
And the consignment of Pfizer also within this month. But those will be rolled out to the healthcare workers.
Right, of course. As so they should. So they should.
Yeah,
you know, these are the people that are dealing with us every single day and risk exposure. For most of us, we can do what we can to try and just remain safe. And it's in fact our responsibility to do just that. Professor Barry Shubb, thank you for taking the time, as always, to speak to us, making yourself available as whenever we need you. It is really, really appreciated.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.